Hi, guys. honestly, I feel like there's nothing else to say. It's funny because these are my notes for my teaching, which, as you can see, everything's pretty much been shared already. But what I was just thinking about is that believing comes by hearing the Word of God. So the more of that we hear of the Word, the more that we're going to believe. So we're going to start back in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to kind of pick up where Julia left off, looking at Jesus Christ, our example, and how he used this shield of believing. So in Ephesians 6, and verse 16 again, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith," or the shield of believing, "wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So, a lot of people have been asking you guys questions. I have another question for you. If you are going into battle, would you rather go in empty-handed and just take all the hits? Or would you rather have a shield that you can use to defend yourself?
Shield.
A shield, great. I'm glad we're on the same page with that. Well, this verse is telling us here, and we've heard it over and over again this weekend, that we are in a battle. Like, the battle is imminent. There's no avoiding the battle. God's not like, well, it might come or it might not. We are in it. It's a spiritual battle. But God's telling us that we have a shield to use. So if someone tells you, like, you're going to be under attack, but here's what you can do, that's probably really important for us to pay attention to and to learn what we can do. Because otherwise, we're just going to go through life just taking hits for our whole lives. And that's how most of the world lives, by the way. Everyone's just kind of going through and taking hits for their whole life. But that's not how we have to live, because it says here that we have a shield that we can use, a shield of believing. Now, Stephanie mentioned that this is a spiritual battle that we're in. It's not a physical battle. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't go walking down the street and there's like a dart that comes at me. Like, I've never seen that before. Maybe it's happened to you. I don't know. But obviously, these darts are not actual darts or arrows. It's talking about something that happens in our minds, because we learned yesterday that this battle is in our minds. It's a spiritual battle, and the battlefield is the mind. So what's in your mind? Thoughts. Thoughts are the only thing that's in your mind. So it follows that these fiery darts that come at us are thoughts. They're words, and those words become thoughts in our mind. So the way that we defend against those fiery darts is with this shield of believing. And the other thing about thoughts is that you can't stop them from coming. Like, let me tell you this. Don't think about a hamburger. What are you thinking about? A hamburger. There was nothing that you could do to stop that thought from coming. It just happened because you heard what I said. And that translated into a thought in your head. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith," or believing, "cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So these thoughts that we have, they come in a lot of times from what we hear or what we read or what we see. But so does believing. So as much as these thoughts are coming in, these fiery darts, we have to defend against those by hearing God's word, by reading God's word, by getting the thoughts of the word in our head. And that is what defends against these other thoughts that are going to come in, these fiery darts. And you guys know, like, you all have a mind, right? Yes, I've talked to all of you, you're all alive. You guys know how destructive some of these thoughts can be. You live in the world. You've probably had some of these destructive thoughts. They can just burn up your whole life. That's what it's talking about there with those fiery darts. So we want to make sure that we don't let those fiery darts burn us up inside. And the way that we do that is by defending against them by believing the word, by replacing those thoughts with thoughts from the word. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Back in Matthew 4. So we're going to just look at, again, a practical example of how to do this. And like Julia shared, Jesus Christ is our example, our perfect example. And Jesus Christ did what it took to put the word in his mind, starting from as early as we know, from when he was 12, but probably before that. He did what it took. And by the way, in that record, like, he left his parents. Like, they moved on. They, like, were going somewhere else. And he did what it took to learn the word, to find out what the word said about him. And we have to do the same thing, because that's the only way to defend against these darts, is to replace them, to drown them out. So in Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Now let's just stop there for a second. There's been a lot of food this weekend, and we've been eating like every couple of hours. But just imagine not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't even know what that would feel like. Like, I get nauseous after eating, not eating for, like, I don't know, a day. But he had a physical need here, where he hadn't eaten in a long time. He was in the wilderness where there was no food. And it could have been tempting for him to think about that and be like, well, I wonder when I'm going to eat food again. And what I wanted to say here is that a lot of times these attacks that come happen when we have a need, when we are weak in our minds. And that's why it's so important for us to prepare beforehand, to make sure that we put on the word in our minds when we're strong, when things that are bad are not happening, so that when things are bad, it's just there already. We have it and we can access it. So that's the context of this situation, is Jesus Christ had this physical need. And then in verse 3, it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" And as Julia just shared, the adversary is questioning who Jesus Christ is. He's trying to get him to question whether he really is the Son of God, and by extension, whether he should be worried about supplying his own needs. And that's something that happens in our lives too, where maybe we have like a physical need that's going on, and it's tempting for us to think like, well, I still have this need, so maybe God's word isn't true. Maybe I'm not really a son of God. Like, maybe I should try to figure out how to get this handled. That is a fiery dart. And the way that we defend against that is by saying, "It is written," which Jesus Christ did say in verse 4. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And he was quoting a section in Deuteronomy here, where God was talking about how he fed the Israelites with manna so that he could teach them to rely on him instead of trying to supply their own needs. So the point that I want to stress here is that there's a truth for every dart. There's a truth from the word that we can use to combat every dart that comes at us. And we should learn what those truths are before we get into the situations that require us to defend ourselves. But once we're in those situations, that's how we respond. We literally respond to these darts in our heads by saying, "It is written." So we have to know what's actually written so that we can respond that way. So we'll keep going here in verse 5. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, that's interesting. Now we have the adversary seemingly quoting the word. He's trying a different angle here. He's like, okay, Jesus, the Bible says this. But does it? Turn to Psalm 91, but keep your finger here, because we're going to be right back. Psalm 91. So this is another thing that can trip us up, another kind of fiery dart, is when we see or hear something that's close to the word, but it's not the word. And Hannah touched on that and did an awesome job covering that. But again, believing comes from hearing, so the more we hear it, the more it'll stick. So in Psalm 91, verse 11, it says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Well, that looks pretty close, right? That kind of seems like what he said. But is it really? It says here, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." Look back really quick at what he said in Matthew 4. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, but he left out to keep thee in all thy ways." And then it says, "And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." But back in Psalms, it says, "They shall bear thee up in their hands," that's the same, "lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." So he added something too. He added "at any time." So it's pretty similar, but is it the word? No. If it's not exactly the word, it's not the word. He was wrongly dividing God's word, and he was taking it out of context. In Psalms, it's talking, if you read the context, about how as we're going about our lives, God will protect us. But it doesn't mean that we are to put ourselves in harm's way to see if God protects us. That's the wrongly divided word. It's out of context. It's not right. So let's see how Jesus Christ responds back in Matthew 4. In verse 7, Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And the way that we can tell the counterfeit is by knowing the genuine. The way that Jesus Christ knew this was wrong is because it contradicted something else in the word. And that's why we have to know the whole word so we can spot those fiery darts that are wrong. We've touched on this subject a lot, but it's an important subject that is coming at you guys every day. But let's say that you're talking to your friends and the topic of homosexuality comes up, or, you know, trans whatever, you know, this whole topic. And someone says to you, "Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to love people, so you need to accept them." Is that what the Bible says?
No.
Sort of. The Bible does say that we are supposed to love people, but it also says in Romans that homosexuality is wrong. It says that very clearly if you want to read that. And it also says in Galatians that if someone is overtaken in a fault, we are to restore them. So to love people with the love of God is not to just accept when they're doing something that's harmful to their lives. That's like really messed up, actually, to let them just keep doing something that we know is wrong and that's hurting them. But to love people with the love of God is to teach them what the word says, to teach them how to get delivered. And that is how we can respond to that situation. But we have to be really sharp when people are telling us, "Well, the Bible says this." And we have to make sure if that is actually what the word is saying. We have to check it against the word. We have to know what the word says so that we can help people and we can teach them what it really is that the word says. Because if they think the word says something that's wrong, they're not going to get any results. And we have to share what the word actually says so that they can see the power in their lives, so that they can get answers, they can get delivered. And that's, we have to be watching out for those fiery darts for our lives and for other people's lives. So let's go to the next one here. Verse 8. "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So he's trying a different angle here. He's like, well, I can't talk him out of believing that he's the Son of God, so let me try to tempt him with something else, something that I'm going to say is better. And that's something that happens to us all the time, where, you know, a lot of us have grown up in the Word. For a lot of us, we have accepted that we are sons of God. So the adversary is going to try something else by putting something that he says is better in front of our eyes so that we get distracted and we go after those things instead. You know, say a couple examples. Say you get into your dream school, your dream college, but it's all the way on the other side of the country. There's no fellowships. There's no believers. Say maybe you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you've liked them for a really long time, but they're not interested in the Word at all. Or maybe you get a job that you really want, but you have to work every night and you can never go to a fellowship. Those situations, maybe they seem really good to you at first, but it's a compromise. And in this battlefield of the mind, there is no room for compromise. Either one side's going to win or the other's going to win. And we have to determine whether we want to believe God and His Word or whether we want to serve the adversary by serving the things in the world, by choosing something that is maybe good instead of best. And that is the counterfeit. It's not going to be like, he's not going to tell you like, oh, maybe you should go do drugs and get drunk. Like, maybe that'll work for some people, but for most of you guys, that's not going to work. But he's going to tempt you with something that is maybe just good, that maybe it's not as easy to tell that it's off the Word. And that's why you have to know what the Word says. You can't compromise. And really, if you're honest with yourself, you can tell most of the time when you're compromising on the Word. So it just takes getting honest with yourself. It just takes knowing what the Word says and deciding that you're not going to give in to those fiery darts, those thoughts that come in, those things that come in to try to tempt you. There's a truth for every dart. And that's why it's so important for us to make sure we're spending time in the Word so that we can see what it says and recognize when these things are coming up in our lives. So let's see what Jesus Christ answers here. In verse 10, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So once again, Jesus Christ responded with the Word. He took a stand, just like Jesse taught us, and he said, "It is written." And that's literally how we should respond in our minds. Like, we should literally tell ourselves that. Like, "It is written, I am more than a conqueror." That's how we respond to these fiery darts. So the next verse here in verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Now this is a really comforting truth. We are not always going to be on the defense in this life. Like, that is going to happen. But when we resist the adversary, he has to leave. There's going to be times in our lives where we are doing really well, and there's going to be times in our lives where we're really not doing well. And it's in those times that we're not doing well that we have to just take a stand in our minds and not give in. We have to hold really tight to that shield of believing, hold really tight to what the Word says. And when we do that, he will have to flee. There's going to be an end to that particular battle, and he'll have to retreat for a while. Turn to James chapter 4. And that's the comforting thing. Like, I know a lot of this probably sounds daunting, where we're like, this is life and death, and it is. It is life and death. But we are victorious. God has given us the tools that we need. It's not like a hopeless situation. Like, that's why we're here at this weekend, so that we can learn how to handle these situations. And when we do believe the Word, the adversary will flee from us. Where the heck is James? Okay, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's awesome, isn't it? When we believe the word, he will flee. And it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So the way to resist the adversary is to submit ourselves to God. We do that by believing the word. It's when God says something, we're like, all right, that's the truth. I'm going to do that. That's what it means to submit. When we do that, he will flee from us. Earlier this week, I was going through one of those bad times in life, and I just had all of these negative thoughts coming in and bombarding my mind. And I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. So I took a notebook and I just wrote down everything that was bothering me, one line at a time, like this thing and this thing and this thing. And then I made another column and I wrote what the word said about each of those situations. And I was like, here's a verse for this, here's a verse for this, here's a verse for this. And even just by writing it down, I was like peaceful all of a sudden. I was like, okay, you know, I've got these things going on, but there's an answer for each of them. And when I believe those things, I'm going to get the results. And guess what? I did. I was immediately peaceful just by going to the word. And then whenever those things came up in my mind, I could say, it is written. And I would quote whatever that verse was. And a lot of those situations are already resolved. And I know that the others will be because I know what the word says. And I know that the word is true. And that's literally what we have to do in our minds. We resist those thoughts. We take that shield of believing, we hold it up, we say, it is written. That's how we defend. So I wanted to close in Proverbs chapter 4. So guys, we have to do, like you each have to do what it takes to learn what the word says. You're responsible to take up that shield of believing. God doesn't say in that verse, you're going to be in some battles, but I'll put up the shield for you. No, because we have free will. So you have to be the one to do it. You have to be the one to learn what the word says about your particular situation. There's a truth for every dart. So if you're going through something, maybe it's not going to help you to read Leviticus. But maybe if you read Ephesians, you can find something that applies to that particular situation. But you've got to be the one to do the legwork. You've got to get yourself to fellowship. You've got to read the word. You've got to talk to your friends and ask them to help you with stuff, people who you trust to give you the word. And do what it takes so that when situations come up, you can say, it is written. And that thought will just be quenched. So I wanted to leave you with this truth here in Proverbs chapter 4, once I can get to it. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This word keep means to guard. It is so important. This is life or death for us to guard our hearts. That's where believing takes place. That's where a lot of these thoughts end up, is in our hearts, the innermost part of our mind. So it's so important for us to guard our hearts by taking up that shield of believing. We find out what the word says. We find out what's written. And then things come up and we say, it is written. And we defend against those fiery darts. And God's word says that when we do that, we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's available for us to quench them all. We can live our lives victoriously because we know what the word says and we believe it. And that's what I wanted to share.